is going on? Welcome to the See a Pioneer podcast. I'm Rose Ruckman. With me, as always, are my co-hosts, Chris and Ricky Jones. Say hello.
Hey, hey.
I thought we settled on W.
No, no, no. You see, C is like 100, so it's cool.
Oh. Is it 100?
Yeah.
I don't speak Greek.
Call Ian.
Yeah, yeah. We can't pick a letter that's in our name, though. It has to come from absolute nowhere, from the top ropes.
Actually, X didn't come from nowhere. Do you know how far back Elon Musk naming something X.com goes?
I saw a meme somewhere.
When he was like 15 years old and looking for
When he was one of the people who like was started up and like was like working on PayPal, right? Yeah. He was like, we need to change it X.com. It's mysterious. People won't know what it is. There's pictures of him like when he was at PayPal, like with a PayPal credit card that was like X.com on it. And that's when they were like, yeah, you don't work here anymore.
Yeah. Nice. It's nice. Evocative, though.
Yeah, it gets people going.
It does, in fact, get the people going.
All right. So, so this week, even though the Discord has been ablaze with banned conversation, mm-hmm. we're saving that again for next week so we can take all the speculation and get right in the lead up to the ban list announcement on the 7th. Next week, the week of the 7th, we'll be able to talk about ban lists. We're going to talk about all the proc reveals at Gen Con. We could talk really quickly about the 8 pictures that Mara showed off with zero sound. I don't know if you saw like the picture from his panel at Comic-Con where he was like, I will now show you 8 card images from 8 different products with no sound or anything to them.
Yes, I saw this and very funny.
I just want to know if the hat on Fireman is Innistrad 3.
No, because anybody from Innistrad...
It'd be Innistrad 4, actually.
He can show up on anywhere.
Yeah.
That's why there's a Mouse Man.
True. The Mouse Man looks sweet, though.
We're now entering the real Pandora's box, right?
Yeah.
Because of Omen Paths, right?
True. How long until they forget
about this Mechanus can show up in Lorwyn?
Oh, yeah, the Adeptus Mechanicus.
Yes. Whatever they're called, right?
Yeah.
You know, David Tennant could just be chilling, you know, in Cedar Rapids, you know?
Those are universes beyond, though, Ricky.
They didn't make no rules. I didn't hear no bell. All I'm saying is that the Hobbit could show up in Amon Kett, right?
Sure.
It makes sense to me, right? We take the dartboard. It says the Hobbit, right? It has the Hobbit $, and we just see where it lands.
Now we've got dartboards and dartboards, right? Like we have the dartboard that sends you to the next dartboard.
Right. And then eventually it dumps 500 pachinko balls on Mark Rosewater's desk.
All right. So, so this week, like I said, we're going to hold on band talk till next week, band predictions till next week. Instead, Ricky had the idea of, hey, Commander Masters is coming out. And we know those boxes are expensive. And you probably most likely already have all the cards that are in those sets because you're a dedicated Commander player. But you're also an aspiring grinder. So what do you do instead of buying that box? Well, you go buy singles for your competitive Pioneer decks. So we're going to talk about what you could do with that booster box money and what you can buy instead. Before that, though, we're going to talk about the weekly events, including 2 challenges, the mana traders, top 8, and a deck list that I forgot to bring up last week that I really do want to talk about. Before that, 2 quick soapboxes. What's up?
Why do you both have Beyblades?
What a great segue.
Why did I get one?
This right here?
Oh, this right here?
What is this?
What? This is a special edition, you know? Korean version of Drigger X.
Yeah.
Shiki the Lion.
I've got Drasiel S.
Drasiel? Yeah.
I bought these for what, Chris? These are for your 30th, right? Is that when I bought these?
I believe that's right. I believe when I turned 30 we got those. And but in order to encapsulate my history of Beyblade, because those of you that don't know, I will turn 20 I will 22. Turn 34 the day after this episode releases, and so I was given a special soapbox, which will last quite a while to some of you's amusement and or chagrins, if I can.
And also in reference to the people who watched the video version last week,
yeah,
who got to see the action shots of probably what Chris is going to discuss here.
Oh my gosh, did you throw it on there?
I did. Yeah.
That's probably some copyrighted content, so please don't come after us. You know, Mark Zuckerberg or whoever owns the
TikTok. They just shut down the Cartoon Network offices. So,
oh dang, there we go. They can't come after us anymore. Well, Ruckman, if you should be so kind and to throw me some of the throwback music we use, you know, when we do the things, throw me some of that in there right here.
Yeah, I get you a little heart music.
Thank you so much, Ruckman. The year is 2004. Okay, that's what year we're in right now. And I am, I believe, 13 years old. And in Houston, Texas, where my father lives in the summertime, and I'm staying for the summertime, the North American Beyblade Championships are going on. This is a regional tournament for the Central United States, but it's also the American Championships. They've flown in the two East Coast and West Coast champion.
They're in the video for a little.
They're bit. They're in the video. They end up at the end, and they have also been, unbeknownst to me, flown to this tournament to compete for the national championships. In the lead up to this, right, what you need to understand is that Beyblade is all the rage, right, from about the year 2001 to 2005 or so. Okay, it's everywhere. I'm playing with my little brother. We don't have a stadium. So we're playing in an old frying pan, right? We're letting it rip.
Yeah.
Okay. In a frying pan that mom allowed us to. And we're having a grand old time. And at that point, my dad worked nights, right? The year after all this, I would become homeless, by the way. Oh. A little tidbit there. Before this.
Inverse homeless to Harvard, Beyblade
don't. Yeah. There's a lot of jokes I can make here, but none of them, they all have foul language. So I'm going to skip them all. So my dad works nights, so I am you know, staying up on his sleep schedule. I have no friends in the Houston area, so all I'm doing from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. is playing Beyblades in my house, okay? There I actually have a stadium, and just in working out on my own, which they will reference in this video, which is funny enough, the game itself wants you to hold a ripcord, hold a little device, and launch the ripcord by pulling it back towards you, okay? I realized very quickly this is probably the worst way that you could do it, and have on my own started holding the launcher sideways, and I can now, by pulling the ripcord sideways, get way more follow through and start spinning faster than anything else. I am just playing against myself. I am loading up two Beyblades on a thing and playing against myself for like 2 years leading up to this tournament. I also look up, once this tournament's announced and I'm able to register, the method to straighten out my ripcord. So I'm amazed I have both my hands, because I'm boiling water for the purposes of dipping a plastic ripcord into the hot water to get it to go more straight.
Now, were you looking up the top tier, like weight disc combos and stuff like that?
No, I literally just came up with it on my own. It's so funny that I am just using at this tournament the smallest Beyblade that is like legally allowed. Uh-huh. It actually wasn't a Drigger, even though I believe it was a Dronzer with a Drigger weight disc. It was I could put it together if I could, but I don't have any of my tops anymore. But it's a teal weight disc that is like really, really small and really heavy. So uh-huh. It's one of the heaviest Beyblades you could have, while also being the smallest. So it spins really, really fast. Another key part of this tournament, in addition to the fact that I have revolutionized the way you should launch the Beyblade, is that I am 13 years old and 6 months away from the age cap at this tournament, and have gone through or am going through puberty. All right. So I don't know it yet, but I am about to Ivan Drago.
Are you, Chris was naturally juicing at this.
I have 400 times the testosterone level of the average tournament goer for this tournament, because there's an age.
Chris is all natty though.
It's all natty. But I'll tell you that if they had put me with the 15 and older guys, just some random dad who was there with his kid won it, I would have beat all of them. Okay. I am again the Ivan Drago about to destroy the American children's dream. So unfortunately, drama unfolds last minute, right? And my dad can't take me to this tournament. He's like, actually, like, there's just no way I'm gonna be able to make it. It's the middle of the day. So my poor sweet grandma, who was at this time still like in her 70s, is driving me to the NASA Space Center Houston, where there's paid parking. I am unprepared. We figure it all out because she's a sweetheart who's just like, oh, and she just sits there on one bench for 8 hours that day as I'm competing, right? Interestingly enough, it was a 10-round single elimination tournament because they didn't want to take your money and have you not be able to play if you just lost. So The way it worked is there were 300 people. The event capped, and I got in at like number 250 something. You couldn't pre-register because the internet wasn't there yet. You had to show up and hope you were one of the first 300 something to be there. And so I'm number 250 something. I get in the door, and they decide that although it's going to be single elimination, they're going to run multiple bullets, right? So if you lose, don't worry. Every hour, they're going to let you re-queue into the tournament. And if you win out of those, you can then re-queue to the main tournament, just like you have X number of wins.
Okay.
The final four of us, I remember a lot of things from this event.
I only remember it's you and Nolan, and then who are the other? Oh, I should rewatch the video.
It's Ben and one other. Ben and another person.
Same start with a D, I think. Something like
Dominic.
That, Dominic, yeah.
None of us, we all won all of our single elimination rounds. Nobody had to re-queue.
And I love the video. Maybe I should just edit the video into this as well. Just the
if you can, like
for
said,
for the video watchers, I'll at least link the TikToks for this because we found it on YouTube a while ago, but then I randomly found the TikToks like at higher res, higher quality, like a week or two ago. So
right. I am in a Beyblade movie because of this. This top four finish. And let me say, first of all,
they hype each of you up for like your different reasons of why you top four.
Right. Of why we top four.
Chris's powerful launching technique.
So that's what I'm talking about. When I'm talking about launching it sideways, because you think about any other sport, golf, bowling, whatever you're doing, you want follow through pitching. If you stop pitching, once you threw the ball, you would hurt your arm. You always follow through.
Yeah.
And so the sideways launch thing, meant I would, could follow through. I'm also, though I'm not as tall, I'm much larger than anybody else there. I look only slightly bigger than Dominic, I think weighed more than me. But the only kid that had not gone through puberty was the Ben kid, I think. The rest of us had gone through puberty, and that's where
we're there. For sure, none of you know how to shake hands.
That is true. We get roasted for it because nobody, we're up there, we're nervous, right? I'm going for the homie slap, right? The guy who wins, Nolan, is such a sweetheart, by the way. So nice the entire time. Deserved world champion. Can't say enough nice things about the guy. Not deserving world champion, but
we'll get into that.
And very nice. Exactly right. Because there's about to be some drama as we get in here. All of the interesting things about this are the lead up to the tournament. The tournament top four itself is absolutely terrible. In my 10 rounds, I am undefeated. It is not close. Two of my opponents.
Can I also interrupt real quick? Listen to you talk about how you have your one set Beyblade, right? Your go-to setup, right? Yeah. If you watch the video, they cut to like the East Coast and West Coast kids.
Yeah.
And they've got like the tackle box. Like, I've got my weight.
There's poor kids there. There's some idiots there who bring in like, I'm going to bring my 5 Beyblades and try and adapt. And I'm like, kid, I can bench 250. Like, I don't need, I have like one Beyblade, right? We destroy everybody. I don't lose a single round, right? Two rounds make a match, or best of three, right? Rounds make a match in Beyblade. I think the only one I hit is like I accidentally launched a little bit awkward and dropped the Beyblade, and I fell too close to the edge and got knocked in a little pit. I didn't lose a single other round. I mean, we 2-0'd everybody, not close. Just like I said, two opponents cried. During the day, which I felt bad for. They're young and losing sucks, right? But they get to go re-queue, so they shouldn't feel that bad. But none, of course, the final four of us ever had to re-queue. We all just destroyed everybody that we faced. And I just have my one. I just brought my one top. If that broke, I was in trouble. Didn't need anything else, right? Top four, super easy. And then I should have looked because they have what we're going to play the top four in, the special stadium off to the side. And I think, well, these are adults who made this. Surely this won't be the stupidest invention ever made. Right? Surely this can't be the dumbest thing ever invented.
They didn't just watch the anime and go, we could do that.
Right, right, exactly. Right. They just want, that's all that, look, they did it in the anime. That's all we need to do it, right? So the funny thing about that was then we launch our Beyblades. And the reason they don't show almost any of the actual action of any of the matches is because all that happens is for about 5 seconds, our Beyblades spin around. And then what they do is in this particular, we'll call it bowl, right? They make a bowl and they decide, like the anime, they want the center to spin in a circle. And instead of doing what any logical being or somebody with a high school education would do, which is drop that centerpiece a little bit so that the Beyblades can have a little bit of angular momentum and go forward and not drop in a giant hole, they would instead have a little bit of momentum and kind of go drop into that little circle and continue spinning in there, right? Mm-hmm. Or lowered it and spread it out so that it's spinning underneath the main thing. So that even if they fell on there and they're hitting one side, it's not just being ground in a hole.
Yeah.
Instead, what they did is just make a giant separation between the part that spins and the part that doesn't spin. So all our tops did was drop in that hole in between the spinny part and the non-spinny part and just sit there and die. Like, yeah. I think one time in my match against the future world champion, did our Beyblades touch each other? And it, as a matter of fact, we drew two times in a row. What they don't show you is that the first two matchups called by the bald referee guy were a draw. And then they realized that this is just stupid. And the referee looks in amazement. It's like, oh crap, this is going to be a problem. Cause I'm the first match that goes up uh-huh. and just starts calling it for the other guy. He just goes, this kid wins for three times, right. Or for two times. And he's like, all right, at that point you guys will play your matches. So there we go. So, I unfortunately lose. There's no doubt in my mind that if we play in a regular bowl, I obliterate everybody else just like I had been doing all day. I played the guy who got second place thinking he was the guy who lost in the other bracket, but the matches were over so quick because, again, the tops just fell in that hole and died very quickly, and it was super anticlimactic and stupid. So the second place guy, I went and fought him on the side and obliterated him 2-0. I was just like, hey, do you want to play? And then I am left with these bag of prizes because they can't give us money because we're 13-year-olds.
Sure.
So I am like Aladdin walking in to see the princess as I get my prizes from the side for getting fourth place in a 300-person tournament. And I'm now walking out that it's bigger than I am. It's like three Beyblade bowls all wrapped together in gift wrap with like 12 Beyblades on it, three different Beyblade video games, and some other little thing on top, like a little, I don't know, some special launchers. That's what it was. It was some launchers all as the little cherry on top, along with some packs of the Beyblade card game that they feature on that thing, which was really stupid and went nowhere. But I am now carrying that thing off, and I'm just like, all right, Grandma, let's go. she's like, well, did you win? And I was like, I got close. You know, whatever. Like, you win some, you lose some, right? I think I handled it very well for a 13-year-old or 12-year-old. And she's like, I thought for sure you were going to win. And I was like, I should have.
Grandma just got off the tram from looking at the Atlas V for like the seventh time.
It was so funny. Every time I was coming back, there was a new lady sitting next to my grandma just chatting up to her like, my grandson's playing and he's just been winning every single round. I'm like, thanks, Grandma. Very, 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 very supportive. So I should be the world champion of Beyblade, but unfortunately, thanks to some, you know, very questionable. They certainly didn't use the NASA engineers to make that thing. I'll tell you that much. That was.
I desperately want like Nolan to see this somehow and reach out and let's reconnect and get the rematch.
We have a content creation thing we do for this thing, right? As much as I would love that, I am certain that we have way better things to do in life, but I could put it back together. I could figure it out. And we're also 20 years older now, but you know, bring it on. Bring it on is what I have to say, right? I don't, as long as the center doesn't spin around for no stupid reason, I'll accept any stadium
But you want OG Beyblade though, because I tried to get you on Burst. Right. And you're anti-Burst.
Burst is stupid. The reason I won is because I was stronger than everybody else and I had a very small,
I mean, that's why
very heavy.
We can agree that Metal Series is the way to go.
Right. The Metal Series was good. We could do whatever and it would be a fun time, especially if we did it for charity. I would definitely be down. But, you know, again, very deserving champion.
I'm just gonna bring a Beyblade stadium and we're just gonna bring Beyblades and we'll just have like the money barrel of just like money match Chris for Beyblade.
I have the ultimate cheating Beyblade arena.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I had the magnet zone.
Right.
And it has like an under segment where you can put magnets in and then some of the Beyblades would have a magnetic core.
Uh-huh. Yes.
So you could just like put, you could have a repel Beyblade and put the magnets at the pits, right?
Yep.
So your Beyblade would never go in the pit.
I know for a fact no one still has his. They were in a YouTube video some time ago, and I can't figure out what their real Twitter is because I thought I found it some time ago, and then a new one got posted where they're like into crypto stuff, and I wasn't sure if that was actually theirs or not. But if I know he's got his, but if I could put mine together, I would love to try and back up this talk and get some dubs in. But
What's funny is, like, you're talking about, like, having to, like, Beyblade just yourself, right?
Yes.
They have a Beyblade stadium they put out, I forget when, but it just, like, it just spins the Beyblade in the center to, like, never stop spinning. And it's a way of just, like, you just try to single player just, like, beat that Beyblade in the center. Just, like, that's, like, just constant spinning.
Oh, for the sad kids like myself, huh? I love right. it. Yeah, I love yeah. it. I just sat there and did it on the floor until, yeah.
Science is fixed for you.
Yeah, yeah. I broke one because I just did it on the wood paneling floor before uh-huh. I could get a stadium, and then it hit a chair leg and snapped in half, and I was like, we're not using that one. That's yeah. that's for sure. Yeah. But yeah.
All right. Well, thank
metal
you.
Tip. That was also the secret. I used the metal tip one.
Mm, yeah, yeah. Thank you for Beyblade story time. Real quick, I do want to once again bring. This is why, you know, we're not getting on the Christmas list anymore. I want to point out how great the anniversary product the 25th anniversary legendary collection is for Yu-Gi-Oh!
Yeah, hashtag very not cool. sponsored.
This was $30 at an LGS. And it contains one of each of the original six booster packs of Yu-Gi-Oh! So that's you get Blue Eyes, you get Metal Raiders, Spell Ruler, Pharaoh Servant, Dark Crisis, and Invasion of Chaos.
Yeah.
And then you also get one of
hold on real quick. That is I think I misheard you. I think you said 25th anniversary, and I'm sorry, that you're $3,000 is what you meant.
I think
if this was a Wizards of the Coast product, that would be $3,000 worth of Magic cards you're holding there, even though they could just print it themselves and put it out. So that's what you meant, right?
Yeah, that's correct. What was your question, Ricky?
The fake cards, though, right? They're not real playable cards.
They're real playable cards. No. The only difference is they have an updated trademark at the bottom of them. Oh, but also, besides those packs, right, you also get one of each of the God cards, and they're, like, OG, like, mono-colored, but they have they're the flavor text versions, right? So they don't have the rules text. They're just the cool...
And those were sold separately for $400.
Oh, no, those were included. Right.
They're included.
Limited direct to consumer via Secret Layer drop.
And then you also got a Blue Eyes, a Dark Magician, and a Red Eyes.
Wow.
And then
how long did it take you to ship that to you? You 6 months? 8 months? How long?
Well, I just walked my LGS and I said, hey, can I get this? And they said, oh, which anniversary booster box do you want? And I said, what? They're like, yeah, we have booster boxes of all the original sets as well. You could just buy those. And I'm like, no, that's cool, but I just want the collector item. And then also you get one of those six cards as a special, like, 25th anniversary, like, super cool foiling.
Oh, okay. But they don't just give you the three Egyptian god cards, right? They're in blister packs that you have to open. And one of the cards is a Llanowar Elf, and the other card's an Egyptian god, right? They wouldn't just be stupid enough to give you
money. They're in a special blister pack that's on top of the six booster packs of real cards that they included.
Okay, gotcha. Of real cards, okay.
Of real cards, yeah. Like I got this sick super rare mystical elf. Then I got this sick ultra rare right leg of Exodia. And then I got this secret rare Blue Eyes Toon Dragon.
In five packs?
Six packs.
You just pulled like a god?
I bought two of them.
Okay, all right. Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense then.
I can't believe you had just an extra $6,000 lying around to buy that. Yeah. That's pretty incredible.
Yeah. Don't tell my wife.
Yeah, I'll keep it.
Just embarrassing, Wizards. Come on.
Yeah, and then also, like, here's the thing too, right? Like, if you want to talk about, like, big, dumb, crazy products they're also putting out, they also have the briefcase, the real, like,
oh, that was funny.
The real hard metal briefcase that includes three framed Blue Eyes and, like, a 20th anniversary frame. It's a Kaiba Court briefcase, right? That is also, once you take the cards out, can be used as just a card holder. I'm going to link the product listing below because someone in the Discord linked it, and, it's in universe done by, like, the Yu-Gi-Oh anime, talking about how, like, it's all to Mr. Kaiba's specifications and stuff like that.
There we go.
It is, and that's only $400, and that's like a legit nice metal briefcase.
Nice.
So,
good for stealing all of
terrible Wizards of the Coast products.
30th anniversary really feels like another slap in the face after getting this awesome product.
Speaking of, this product isn't for you.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Commander.
Do you want to do this or do you want to do events first?
No, let's get out of here. It's almost my birthday.
Yeah.
Let's jump into it.
It's all going to get banned anyways, right? We're going to ban playing on the draw, right?
Sure. Yep.
Both players will go first, so the modern players can be happy, right?
Sure.
But
I did finally ask some salty modern players that were in my Facebook group, like, "Hey, how do you feel about modern since the Lord of the Rings? I mean, are you really liking it?" Because they were obviously like really dumpstering on Pioneer for no reason. And when somebody was asking what the RC format was, and the responses I got were, "Well, I haven't gotten to play. The Lord of the Rings cards are expensive. And so I actually haven't played Modern yet, but maybe I will when the RCQ season starts." And I was like, okay, gotcha. All right. Well, I'm interested to see how you feel. Come that time. I hope you enjoy it, you know?
Okay. But I will say Modern, God, it almost has me with the Cat Oven decks they have right now. And then also the
Cat Oven decks aren't real. Did you see the challenges this weekend?
Did you see the Flumph deck, though?
Oh, yes, there's a Flumph deck. It's also not good.
But I'll play it. I'll play Flumph. What is the pretense of this segment again?
So my thought was, like, I saw the Pleasant Kenobi video, and he has fun. He's done this a couple of times, right? Whenever there's a bad Magic product that's priced way too high, he'll go like, "Oh, you can buy... you know, a blockbuster franchise or something, you know, sure. Stupid, right? 87 buckets of Kentucky Fried Chicken, right?
You can't drop blockbuster franchise like that. You can't just bring that out of nowhere and not give me some time to recover from blockbuster franchise.
So
I've got a copy of Swordfish that I never returned from the year 2005. Can I trade my credits in there to own a blockbuster franchise, please?
But I was like, you know, and it's a funny joke, and his point gets made, and I was just thinking, like, well, you know, once again, being Pioneer players, we don't have to pay attention to Lord of the Rings. We don't have to pay attention to Commander Masters. They're not products for us, right? Mm-hmm. And so I was like, you know, I hear so many people that are like, "Yeah, I'm gonna buy a box of Commander Masters," and I'm all for weird draft formats, but this doesn't even seem like a good draft format. Like, I think
it feels like it's gonna have the Amonkhet problem. There's way too many wraths with all these uncommon wraths.
Well, like, it's just I recently also played a Baldur's Gate draft because Baldur's Gate is a set that was designed to be drafted multiplayer. Sure. A bunch of cards designed for Commander, right? And that was priced normally.
Yeah.
And that was a lot of fun. Four friends sit down, you draft, you play multiple Commander games with the decks you drafted. A lot of fun. And I was just thinking, like, if somebody is like thinking about buying a box of Commander Masters, like, let's just put into perspective, like, what you could get as a Pioneer player for... Right now the box is like $300 plus tax, but I figured we'd undercut because, like, maybe they go on sale or something. So I said $275 is our budget.
Sure.
But if you went a little over, right, you'd still be less than a box of Commander Masters, right?
Sure.
So I was just like, what could you get that is good? Like, how deep into Pioneer could you get for $250, right? $275. And, like, we've done so many budget challenges in the past, right? I think this would be more entertaining to kind of see, like, hey, don't buy a box of Commander Masters, open cards that you're never going to play and then try to trade away, right?
Yeah.
So, like, let's just take the big number that Wizards wants us to spend every quarter, right?
Yeah.
And see what that actually gets us on the singles market. And I think I came up with a pretty good list. I don't know about you guys.
I almost did the exact same thing you did, but I was like, someone else is going to do this, so I needed to pick something else.
Are you sure? I think my list is pretty, pretty fantastic.
Again, I'm looking at what you submitted, and again, I had this exact same idea, and then I was like, Ricky or Chris will do this, so I needed to do something else.
Right. Chris just bought Beyblades instead.
No, I bought all the Beyblades.
Remember, you can buy one gold edition Drigger for $300.
The problem with all the Beyblades I bought is I can't even say these were COVID buys because I bought these pre-COVID.
Right. No, you were just like, man, Chris and Beyblades are both so cool. I want them to like me, you know?
I remember right before COVID going with you to that PTQ, and you had to you quickly covered up a bunch of Beyblades in the trunk of your car.
Yes.
I was like, what's
that? Are you allowed to Beyblade to decide who goes first? Should we start doing that?
Oh, I don't see why not.
I think if we ever do 1v1 content videos, we'll need a Beyblade to decide who goes first.
Do I have to buy a Beyblade stadium now for Extra Life?
I have someone we could you can Beyblade in anything. You could Beyblade in the cup, you know?
you can make Beyblade in the toilet.
Hey, speaking of the positives, because I've definitely heard some frustration with Pioneer, and I think that's totally fine. But I think there's a lot of auxiliary stuff to Pioneer that makes it really great, especially as the first format to jump to if you were playing Casual or were playing Commander and want to get your feet wet with some more competitive stuff. But it's still friendly, and especially as we look to maybe host some more webcam events in the future, get your feet wet more and get your friends more involved, get them show them some of the stuff you can do with some of the budget stuff, because the format's super accessible. I think the cards are relatively easy to understand, right? Knowing matchups, you're very rewarded for. And I think as frustrating as it can be for some people, the more you play, the more you're rewarded, just like with old Modern. So I think that's one of the reasons that this kind of challenge, I think, really highlights the positives of Pioneer. Is some people don't like the accessibility arguments for it. I think obviously I don't necessarily speak for all of us, but I think we've expressed in the past that we really love the accessibility of Pioneer and how you can build multiple Pioneer decks, lend them out to your friends, just like you might with Commander, and have some fun, right? Test beforehand, build some decks, see how they stack up to the best decks, and kind of go from there. So,
yeah.
So who wants to go first? Chris?
Sure. I think you guys' list is cooler. So my thoughts were this, right? I simply thought to myself, well, I don't know, given that we've never had this much competitive Pioneer before, I don't know if prices are going to drop now that the season is most of the way over, mostly because, you know, again, this is the most Pioneer's ever been played, and the prices aren't that expensive, right? Most of the cards that are popular or expensive are because they're played in other formats. So in order to be inflation-proof or deflation-proof from potential bans coming up, and the fact that Pioneer RCQ season's over until next year sometime, I went with old tried and truth faithful. So I took a totally different look on this approach, which I'm allowed to do because it's almost my birthday. And I just said, hey, listen, if you've got $250, go buy yourself 4 Steam Vents, 4 Sacred Foundries, and 4 Blood Crypts, and get yourself the mana base to a bunch of different decks, because the rest of the cards, as Ricky and Ruckman are about to show you, are dirt cheap. And you can take yourself a ton of different directions with those, right? Those are the core cards that I really think you'll want to start the mana bases of with 4 ofs. And you can kind of build the rest of them around. Even the rest of some of the fast lands are pretty cheap, except for Inspiring Vantage. So you can really pick up the rest of the cards pretty cheap. But these are the shock lands that I think have the most versatility and are not going to be losing value. I think these are going to be maybe gaining value as Modern season comes up. Because Steam Vents is going to see play for sure. Blood Crypt is going to see tons of play. Sacred Foundry will kind of see play by the nature of 4 color decks, like your Omnaths, your a lot of the decks that are playing Creativity are going to want Sacred Foundries because they both cast Leyline Binding and cast your Indomitable Creativity. So these are cards that are not only good in Modern, but are also good in Pioneer right now as land-based pickups to start with, that once you swallow this big cost, you're going to be like, okay, yeah, that was a lot of food. That was a lot, but now I can slowly bite up the rest of some decks. But I think Ricky and Ruckman's approach, as you're going to hear in a minute, is really good for it. You can just play faster than if you do my strategy of buy some lands.
I think Ruckman did reverse Chris.
I did reverse Chris.
Yeah, he did reverse Chris and you did a little bit too. So those are my recommendations. Are those shock lands? I'm going to let you take it from there.
You want to go Ruckman, or do you want me to go?
Yeah, I'll go. I'll go next. I picked up the most cards out of everyone here. My cart is at $274.19. I picked up 145 cards here. Now, I also went kind of ban-proof, so I thought I'm not going to look at decks that are even again, we'll go into this more next week. I avoided Nykthos decks. I avoided things with Fable. And I avoided Karn, Nykthos, whatever. So I kind of went through and I looked at the 3 decks that I think are very much ban-proof right now. and that is Monoite Humans, Azorius Spirits, and like Gruul Boats, Gruul Midrange, whatever you want to call the deck. So I found out for $275, you can essentially buy all of their main boards if you just already have some of these mana bases lying around. Especially if you're coming from a fact of like, you know, we're thinking of like you're already playing the format, maybe you're trying to pick up extra stuff, right? Like you're playing other Magic events. You might already have most of the mana base. So let's just get you playing and let's fill that binder up with stuff. So here's the full rundown of what we got. We got 3 Invasion of Gobakan. We got 4 Adelaine or Split of Cathar, Bone Crusher, 4 Bone Crusher Giant, 4 Brutal Cathar, 4 Coppercoat Vanguard, 4 Dauntless Bodyguard, 4 Elvish Mystic, 4 Hopeful Initiate, 2 Clothless God of Destiny, 4 Llanowar Elves, 4 Lovestruck Beast, 4 Luminarch Aspirant, 4 Mausoleum Wanderer, 4 Miglaw's Maze Crusher, 4 Rattle Chains, 4 Reckless Stormseeker, 4 Recruitment Officer, 4 Shacklegeist, 4 Skyclave Apparition, 4 Spectral Sailor, 4 Spell Queller, 4 Supreme Phantom, 4 Thalia Guardian of Thraben, 4 Thrunbreaker of Silence, 4 Vuldaren Thrillseeker, 4 Werewolf Pack Leader, 4 Brave the Elements, 4 Geist Light Snare, 4 Lofty Denial, 4 Rending Volley, 4 Slip Out the Back, 4 Rasika's Chariot, 2 Sky Sovereign Console Flagship, 2 Unlicensed Hearse, 4 Curious Obsession, 4 Ossification, 4 A Crone War, 4 Wedding Announcement. And I am not going to put up single individual images of all these cards. I'm just going to put the decks on the video version because, oh, Kitty, no, leave the Beyblades alone. So I just said, hey, you know what? You might already have a bunch of or some of these mana bases. Here are the shell of 3 very good, very powerful decks that I think are also decks that will continue to live and thrive this format. They might not be tier 1 always, but these are also just good investments to have. And then these are going to be very ban-proof heading into August 7th. And then, they're just, look, 145 cards. You probably don't get that. Do you get that many cards in a booster box? You probably do.
They're 20 card packs.
Yeah.
I'm kind of actually amazed how we didn't coordinate these lists.
Yeah.
But I enjoy Chris's chocolate.
Uh-huh.
I enjoy Ruckman's peanut butter.
Mm-hmm. So I will say, if I had a little more time today, I was going to go through and just do like the let's build the Pioneer Battle Box of just like, so, let's just get like every... And I feel like I'm kind of almost there already with a lot of these pickups.
So my thought was I wanted to go for playability more than anything.
Sure. And
I wanted for my $275, actually, again, it came up to $271.48.
Your idea, I was like, this is a slam dunk idea, but I was like, but I bet one of the other guys is also going to have this great idea, so I'm going to do something different.
I don't want to just have one deck. I want to be able to play different decks, and I want to reconfigure and mess around with
them.
So I picked up the mana base of red-white. Just the only thing I could not afford is the second mana confluence. For lands, I picked up 4 Battlefield Forge, 4 Inspiring Vantage, 1 Mana Confluence, 4 Needle Verge Pathway, and 4 Sacred Foundry. So with that mana base, we could play either the mid-rangey Pia deck or the ultra-aggressive Boros Convoke, both very good decks in the format right now. Both play very differently. And not only did I want to get you all the cards to play them, I wanted to get you all the cards for the sideboard and the ability to change the different builds around. So just running over my list, it's 3 Invasion of Gobakan, 4 Bone Crusher, 3 Giant Killer, 1 Gigantha, 4 Knight Errant, 4 Swift Spear, 4 Pia, Reckless Bushwhacker, 1 Regal Leosaur, 4 Resolute Reinforcements, 4 Runaway Steamkin, 4 Soulscar Mage, 4 Thraben Inspector, 4 Venerated Loxodon, 4 Vuldaren Epicure, 4 Gleeful Sabotage, 4 Reckless Impulse, 4 Rend's Resolve. Those are actually a little pricey, so as well as 4 Play with Fire, 3 Rending Volley, another like $3 card randomly, 1 Pithing Needle, 4 Portable Hole, 2 Alpine Moon, 4 Chain to the Rocks, 2 Legion's Landing, 2 Rest in Peace, 4 Showdown of the Scalds. So you can put together multiple 75s for your like Pioneer locals.
I love it.
To play every week. you can shift between playing Boros Convoke or Boros Pia. And man, maybe you'll even discover some new Pia Convoke deck, you know?
Sure.
But the idea, just like for $275 in Pioneer, and these are not like the cheapest decks either, because like Sacred Foundry is really up there. Mana yep. Confluence is like a $25 card. I really wanted to fit the second one in. We just didn't have the money for it. And this is like full complete 75s
yeah.
of both lists.
Yeah. I mean, like, we could have gone up a bunch of different ways, right? Like, we've talked about how you get like mono blue down to $100. We've like looked at that mono red goblin list that you could get down to $100. Like right. we could have looked at some of these lists and gotten like two or three deck lists down to like $100 each and figured out how to do this. But I love your, and again, I had a very similar idea of just like, well, the Boros mana base is the expensive part of that deck. But if we have it, then we could just build both of the other decks for just pennies of the dollar.
Right. So yeah. I think this is like, and there's like probably other, if any of you guys want to submit your lists of this challenge or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, the viewers, not you two. You two already did that.
Yeah.
Like I was like kind of feeling like, there's definitely a Phoenix box you could buy for about the same price also, right?
Yep.
But mm-hmm. I feel like it's a little less competitive, but maybe more fun. There's also like definitely a like varying red-green decks type of
sure.
Like if you pick up like maybe the Naya, just the Naya mana base is probably cheaper. Temple Gardens and Stomping Grounds are really cheap right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then like you just put together like Grohl Boats plus all your favorite Celestia cards to see no play, right?
Yeah.
I just feel like there's a lot you can get in Pioneer for $275. Please, if you're a Commander player, you're going to buy this product anyways, you know? But if you're like wanting to just play more Magic, play more Pioneer, or heck, like you could probably even get a majority of one of the Aether Vial decks in Modern
mm-hmm.
for this price point, you know, you're not going to be playing Yogg or like five color rings, but you know,
sure,
you could definitely put together like a pretty good like fish goblins burn, like a tier two deck.
Yeah,
you know, honestly, Hammer, you could probably buy most of Hammer for $275 because I mean, like,
yep.
it's $100 in Urza Sagas, and the rest of the lands are planes, right?
We could build like two Grand Archive decks. We could how many Edison decks can I build?
See, that's the thing is like I didn't want to spiral out like, you know,
sure.
like certain content creators do, right? As funny as it is, I think like their points are legitimate, and that like if you want to play Magic, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like let's play Magic, right? Even sure. if you like, I mean, we're not the people to talk about for like what Commander decks you could build for $271. I don't even want to think about that, right? But like this product is like egregiously overpriced, right?
Yeah, like don't get me wrong, like all of the cool sick full art reprints, they're great, they're nice, they're fancy, but like Wizards, like you told us that D&D was undervalued right now. I thought we realized that we were already figuring out the market cap on Magic, but apparently we didn't.
You know, and I don't want to be here and like complain about price. It's really just the 1-2 punch.
Sure.
Of just like Lord of the Rings was also super expensive.
Yes.
And this set is super expensive right behind it. And it just seems like it's a great time to jump to Pioneer where you don't have to worry about any like ancillary products, right?
Yeah.
Or Wizards putting the product on Arena, you know?
You know, you just, yeah, exactly. You don't have to buy it again on Arena because they're never going to put Pioneer.
They're never going to do it. Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of nice having to been like, you know, just playing with the cards from March of the Machine and Aftermath, mm-hmm. which was a little bit of a mess, right? And like, we've had all summer to brew with those. The Pioneer format has changed and adapted again and counter-adapted to the point where maybe now it's looking like maybe some bans, right?
Yeah.
But it's also been like 3 months since a set has come out for us, you know? And like, I'm really hyped for Eldraine just because like, we've had a good time to brew with the previous cards.
And yeah,
I feel like I'm at the point now where I'm ready for another set, right?
Yeah, I feel like it's a mix of that and also just like, I think Eldraine was just a very well designed. Like, you know, people, if you want to complain about how powerful like Adventure was in Standard and things like that aside, right? Like, I think Eldraine was a very good power level of a set. Like, sure, we had Oko and stuff like that, right? Like,
I don't know, Ruckman. I feel you, right? I remember opening the packs, right?
Yeah.
But like, and I remember it was the set that announced Pioneer.
Yes.
Right? So you've got some rose-tinted glasses towards Eldraine, but I will tell you that that set is so unbelievably broken that, like, you remember that Once Upon a Time is in that set, right?
Yeah.
Like, you remember that, like, there's, like, 5 to 6 banned cards in that set, right?
Yeah, which will be relevant for Extra Life, so keep those banned cards in mind.
I'm just saying, like, I don't think Eldraine was the best designed set for like balance. It was a fire design set through and through.
Oh, it was a fire design set, all right. It was fire.
we were actually joking about this last night. Like, let's make a new format called Fire Format. And it's just Ravnica, Guilds of Ravnica forward, including the Horizon sets and the Commander Legend sets. It's a miserable format. Nobody wants to play it.
I'm excited to see, like, what's going to be great is Eldraine. You know, it's going to have throwback cards to the first Eldraine, right? Like, right. I can't wait to see, like, Fixed Cat Oven.
I'm not really excited about the fact that it is Eldraine. In fact, I'm way more excited for Ixalan, because I loved Ixalan.
Sure.
But I'm just excited that, like, I've had, like, a good time to marinate on the cards from March of Machine.
Uh-huh.
And Aftermath, we'll just, you know...
But I'm more excited for, like, this is our chance to get, like, some parasitic mechanic support. So, like, food and adventure. So, like, you know, I'm picking up my, like, 10-cent foil Edgewall Innkeepers.
Right.
My foil, like, 20-cent Lucky Clovers.
You're ready for Lucky Clover 2?
Yeah.
Like, you know, Despacito 2 coming out.
Oh, man.
I love the opportunity.
I'm more just into just the amount of time between sets if you're a Pioneer player versus, like, having to, like, endure, like, I can't believe having to be invested in the Lord of the Rings or the Commander, like, Master set, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I did a couple Lord of the Rings drafts on Arena and a couple in paper, right? It's very fun. And I'm, like, not even going to try to draft this Commander whatever set.
I'm not going to lie. The Discord's been posting, like, historic deck lists. And
no,
like,
no.
Have you seen a card called Juggernaut Peddler?
Have you seen a card called the One Ring?
Yeah, but Juggernaut Peddler.
It sells you a Juggernaut?
It exiles a card for your opponent's hand and replaces it with a Juggernaut.
Stop.
Ricky, it's good.
So we're sticking to Pioneer. The moral of the story is spend your dollars in a real game like Pioneer.
Like Yu-Gi-Oh!
In Archive.
Oh.
God. All y'all.
All right. So, that'll do it this week. Oh, actually, hold on. I do want to talk about this decklist real quick, because I think Ricky's very excited. This is a decklist I forgot to talk about last week. This won some random local RCQ, right?
Yep.
Uh-huh.
But look at how sweet this decklist is. This is Grixis Cat Oven. It's 3 Cauldron Familiar, 4 Stitcher Supplier, 2 Scrapwork Mutt, 4 Prized Amalgam, 4 Silver Smoke Ghoul, 3 Ox of Agonis, 4 Otherworldly Gaze, 4 Tome Scour, 4 Creeping Shill, 4 Break Entering, 4 Witch's Oven.
It's
Dredged Cat Oven in one deck.
This is terrible.
What? This is sick.
Oh my god. I enjoy tempting God, right?
Yeah.
I'm looking straight up at the sky.
I'm tempted, all right.
And just be like, you know, you ain't ish, right? There is no Rest in Peace, Tormod's Crypt, Lantern of the Lost, Leyline of the Void in my future.
The only thing keeping me from playing this deck is the 4 mana confluences.
Don't you have one more RCQ for Atlanta?
No.
I have mana confluences. You need them?
I don't have. Actually, you would have everything else I need to play this deck.
Yeah. I could just lend you the stuff if you want to play
okay,
this stuff.
No, it's okay. No. Because one of them is this weekend.
I have a Meepo Masker. I opened a black and white Meepo Masker.
I saw that. It's sick. But I bought that one the other week, too. So I had that one from the last one. But, no, unfortunately, there's 2 near me. But One of them is this weekend, and I'm on call. And then the other one is the weekend of Grand Archive Regionals, and we're gonna go win store champs instead.
I see you just go.
Uh huh.
And you answer your phone based on your record.
Okay, but what do I do when I answer my phone and I'm like an hour away from my apartment?
I mean, you're just telling that you're turning it on and off again, right?
Uh huh. Yeah. That doesn't work when we're in the cloud.
Yeah. I took the cloud and put it somewhere else.
Yeah. The problem is you won't get me these cards in time to play on Friday.
You to play a real deck.
Oh, I would jam the hell out of this deck.
I know you would.
Because again, the other RCQ, like I said, there's a Grand Archive store champs that day that we're going to go play and win, and then we're going to go win regionals. We're going to win all the star chips.
Are the store champs the same weekend as the regionals?
Is
that at the same store?
No. They're doing store champs on Wednesday during their weekly event.
Weird.
But Space Cadets is holding their store champs on the Saturday, and regionals is on Sunday now.
Did you sign up?
Yeah, the link's in Friday's Discord.
Okay, all right.
It's $10 entry fee. It's in.
All right. Let's close this one out. Let's close the episode.
All right. Of course, we are sponsored by Wonderful Patreon, patreon.com/crew3mtg. We have several great tiers available. All of those tiers give you access to our patron channel, exclusive channels, which includes the Patreon mailbag, where you can ask a question that sounds something like this. This question comes from Bridger, who asks, who would win in a fight, the Emperor of Mankind at his prime or the Silent King with the mid-sized army?
What's the question?
This is Warhammer. This is about Warhammer.
This is about 40K, yes.
The Necrons would win.
Mm. All I know is...
How are you for knowing the Silent King is a Necron?
No way, am I right?
Yeah.
All I know is that if the stadium wouldn't rotate in the center, I would win. Okay? Yeah. That's what I know.
Here's my question for Bridger. Now, we have the Emperor at his prime, but is this... is the Silent King and the therefore the Necrons, is this pre-Necrotier process? Like, do they still have all their weapons to shatter the Catan and things like that? Because Prime Emperor, we don't know the full extent of his strength, but the pre-Necrosis Necrons do have some crazy weapons. So
now are we talking Roger era Whitebeard or
So you know what? I think the Chaos Gods win. Where's the caveman?
Right? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Where is the caveman?
So, Bridger, I will be happy to explore this. This well, hit me up. We'll talk this battle later on in the Discord.
You're the sheriff, right?
I can't show you that. We're playing Bang. All right. So be sure to ask all kinds of questions if you join our Patreon. We got fun stuff going on there. That will do it for this week, gentlemen. Where can they find you on the X's and the other social medias? And
you can find me on X.com as Richard Johnson.
Has no T.
That's exactly right. You can find me on the Twitters at @its_Christmas and Christmas has no T.
You can find me on Twitter at also Steve, or you can X me at also Steve. I don't thread.
Yeah. And you can find me, of course, at Crew3Podcast over on X.com. Over you go check out all my zeets. And of course, I post video version of the podcast. And I post some other fun videos, like some of Chris's deck techs. And then I also just posted the debut episode of our new series, Cast or Pass, featuring my wife. I will say this one is about probably like twice the length of future episodes will be. So it's a bit of a longer video to watch, but please watch it. Give us some feedback on it. We had a lot of fun doing it, and I think, you know, as long as people like it, we'll keep making them. So go check out Cast or Pass, where I set down my wife and I say, hey, do you think this is a good or a bad Magic card? Knowing that she's only played a single game of Magic with me before.
Amazing video series. One of my favorites.
Be sure to go check that out. We hope you have a wonderful week. We'll talk to you next week where we go over all the ban list dramas and predictions. We'll look at what could come off the ban list. Nothing. We'll look at what's going to go on the ban list.
Everything.
A lot of things. Who knows? Probably Siege Rhino.
Will my Siege Rhinos be playable? That's what we want to know. Right?
We'll talk to y'all next week. Bye.
Bye.